Good morning, church. How's everybody today? Good, good deal. It's good to be here today. It's good to see the bright sunshine. It's a little chilly, but you'll have that this time of year, I guess. It's good to see everybody here, and it's good to have our visitors here, Rick and Lisa. Glad you guys came our way today, and I'd like to spend some time to get to know you afterwards, so thanks for coming by. We've been talking about wisdom from the book of Proverbs, and we've preached on wisdom for the last several weeks. We talked about being wise in our fear of the Lord. We then talked about the wise use of our tongues. Then we talked about having the wisdom to avoid the things that God hates. And last week we talked about being wise in the way we deal with wickedness or the wicked. And today we're going to talk about the wisdom to find our way. And this morning we're going to conclude our sermon series on wisdom from the book of Proverbs. The wisdom to find our way, your way, my way. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Aren't you glad I didn't sing that? Very familiar words to us. We know these words by heart. We know this song. Today, I want us to focus on a few words from that song. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Has anybody in here ever been lost? You ever been lost? We could talk from a spiritual sense. Before we became Christians, we were lost. But have you ever been lost in the physical sense? I have. And no one wants to feel lost. Would you agree with that statement? No one wants to feel lost, because lost is generally not a very pleasant place for us to be. I remember one time as a kid being lost. I was with my parents, and we went to the store. And we had a van. I never understood as an only child why we had a van, but we had a van for a brief period of time. And the van had a third row seat. And I had fallen asleep in the third row. So my parents knew I was asleep, and they were just going into the store for a few moments, so they let me sleep in the back of the van, and they went into the store. Well, I woke up while they were gone and decided that I was going to go into the store. So I got out of the van and went into the store, and I never saw my parents in the store. And so after a few minutes of looking around, I was getting a little frantic, you know, and I look outside, and the van is gone. You see, they thought, this is the story that they tell today anyway, they thought that I was still asleep in the third row of the van. You couldn't see that from the front seat. So rather than disturb me and wake me up, they just left. That was a few scary minutes. Those were very scary minutes, and I felt lost. But it wasn't long before they came back. Now, this was before cell phones, so you know, I really had no plan B there. Lost is a scary place to be. Brian Yost tells a story as a kid being lost in a cave where he could see nothing. That's scary. We've all been lost in the bad part of town at night when we go somewhere we've never been. That's scary. Being lost can be annoying. It can be unpleasant. It can be scary. You've lost your direction. You lose your sense of bearings, right? And you might even sense that you're in danger when you're lost. You might feel like you're never going to get out of the situation. About 50 years ago, there was a man named Hugh Moorhead, and Hugh had a hobby. Hugh's hobby was riding around to famous philosophers and scientists and authors, and he would write to them, and he would ask them one question. And that question was, what is the purpose of life? Have you ever asked yourself that question? We spent 2 years talking about it here a few years ago. What is the purpose of life? The responses that Mr. Moorhead received were pretty depressing from these people that he held out that be very intelligent. Joseph Heller, who wrote Catch 22, he wrote back and he said, I have no answers to the meaning of life, and I no longer wish to search for any. A famous author wrote back, as far as I can see, there is no purpose to life. A philosopher wrote back and said, I am afraid that the meaning of life still eludes me. A famous scientist said, life is an unprofitable episode. that disturbs an otherwise blessed state of non-existence. And an Austrian psychiatrist says, I don't know the meaning or the purpose of life, but it looks as if there were something meant by it. You can see from these comments, these people had no idea of the purpose or the value or the direction of life. People who have no direction in life are people who are lost, aren't they? And you know people just like that. We've been those people from time to time. We know lots of people in this world that live that way. Life has no direction. It has no value. There's no purpose in their minds. And folks like this end up feeling really lost, like they're trapped in a hole they'll never get out of. But you know what? As God's people, we never have to feel lost. Amen? As God's people, we never have to feel like we're lost. Proverbs 16 gives us great wisdom when we feel lost. It reminds us we're never alone, and beyond that, we are never without direction. Proverbs 16:9, the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. What's this saying? Well, it says that we make plans for our lives, don't we? If you guys were in Rob's class this morning, you can go ahead and go to lunch early because we talked about this. It's pretty cool, though. We didn't know how God works. God knows what everyone needs to hear. Amen? He knows what we're dealing with. He knows every heart in here. Take some comfort in that this morning. Your God knows you, and He knows what you need. But we plan for our lives. I am a huge planner, and it drives Felindy and Austin crazy. Christy's a planner. We've talked about that. I have lists for things I got to do at the house. I have lists for things I have to do at the office. I make plans. And there's nothing wrong with making plans, right? Proverbs 20:18 tells us plans succeed through good counsel. Proverbs 21:5 says good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. There's nothing wrong with making plans. But Proverbs reminds us, no matter what plans you make, God decides where those plans will take you. And the Bible teaches us that there's nothing wrong with making plans. We can know where we want to go. But as Proverbs 19:21 says, the human mind may devise many plans, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will be established. Make all the plans you want, but you better have God in those plans. That's the wisdom from Proverbs. Because without plans that include God, we're going to be lost, no matter how well we think we've planned. Because you know what? No matter how hard I try, I don't know what tomorrow holds, right? We don't know what next week holds. We may not have another next week or next day. We talked about that this morning. When we make plans without God, our lives will feel empty and meaningless. Why? Because we're not designed to make plans without God. And when we do that, we want to go one way, but God wants us to go His way. And when that happens, we end up losing our way. We end up lost. And we end up going the wrong way. And we end up being in conflict with what God wants in our lives. How many people in here have dogs? Y'all ever walk your dogs on a leash? We have two dogs, and they're very different in so many ways. Our little black dog, she's my favorite. I love her. She is perfect on a leash. You put a leash on her, you walk her, she stays right with you. It's a very pleasant process. The little brown dog, Zoe, you put her on a leash, and you spend the first 15 minutes trying to get her out from around your legs. And once you get her out from under your legs, she goes around the mailbox, and she just goes all over the place, around poles and telephone poles and everywhere. But ultimately, you know what happens to Zoe? She goes where we take her, doesn't she? The only thing she accomplishes by doing that is she gets a sore neck and she frustrates us. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Don't you think that sometimes God looks down on us
and the frantic of our lives and all the stress that we bear. And he says, guys, you wouldn't have to get tangled around those legs and those telephone poles if you would just let me lead. If you would just walk the way I want you to walk. It would be so much easier if we would figure out where it is God is leading us and follow. That's what Proverbs 16:3 tells us. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Steve read Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. If we commit to the Lord in all that we do, God will make our plans succeed. He'll make our road easier because we are walking a straight line. Now, what happens when we take a detour? Do you all ever start walking with God but then take a detour? It happens, doesn't it? Suddenly we take everything back and we believe it's all about what we can do. How many took algebra in school? Wow, a lot of you. I'm going to use an algebraic question this morning. You like that word, algebraic? I think that's a word. What is the shortest distance between two points? Straight line, that's exactly right. God says, you go where I want you to go, and the road is going to be straight. Abraham Lincoln said, no one ever got lost on a straight road. I don't know if I agree with that. I've been lost on a straight road before. How about you guys? It's a good quote. But what if we go off-roading? Do you ever go off-roading in your life? What if you take a side trip and you really mess things up? Can God fix that? You better believe He can. You see, when we seek to honor God in our life, when we trust God with our hearts, when we lean on His way of thinking, when we look to God and the plans we make and the things we do, Proverbs 16:4 tells us the Lord has made everything for His purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. In other words, when we mess up, and we're going to do it, when we belong to God, He will work it out. Now, it may not be the answer we think it should be in our human minds. It may not be and probably won't be on our timeline and when we think it should happen, but the promise is ultimately our God will work it out. He supplies the direction. And when you're a Christian, His Spirit dwells in you. And you know what that Spirit does? It does a lot of things. But we're told very plainly, it guides us. It directs us. It teaches us. One man explained it this way. If God wants 10, and all we can give is a 7, He supplies 3. God wants 10 and we give 5. He supplies the 5. That's what Romans 8:28 tells us. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. You know, this passage doesn't say all things are good, does it? This passage doesn't say that all things are brought about by God. It doesn't say that. But that doesn't matter, church. It doesn't matter whether things in our lives are good or bad. Because we all have plenty of both, don't we? It doesn't matter if the things that happen in our lives are from God or if they're from our own foolish decisions. Because whatever we give God, whatever pitiful or pathetic things we may offer Him, when we love Him and we belong to Him, His promise is He will work with those things for the good of those who love Him, for those whom He has called. Doesn't mean we always get the answer we want. Doesn't mean it works out even in this life. But you know what? When we're a Christian, we have a home in heaven. And ultimately, there's nothing better than that. He will ultimately work it out. But when God doesn't guide us, we may think we're going where we want to go. But that destination is not a place we're going to want to end up. You see, one of the reasons that people without God get dissatisfied in life is because life, we're taught, is all about our success, right? We're taught in America that we got to be the best. We're taught even as kids in sports, you got to win, you got to get that trophy. We're taught that everything in life depends on our success. And when we make plans for success without God, then we'll do anything it takes to get there, right? We'll step on people. We'll mistreat people. We'll put up obstacles for other people. We'll even put obstacles in our own path. We'll have enemies. Enemies who do whatever they can to trip us up. Now, the reality is, no matter how hard we try, we're all going to have enemies, aren't we? I mean, that's a news flash. A little bit of realism here. Not everybody's going to like us. But you know what? God promises in Proverbs 16:7, when the ways of the people please the Lord, He causes even their enemies to be at peace with them. Now, He doesn't say your enemies are going to like you. Doesn't say you're going to end up going to dinner with them. But the promise is peace. He causes even their enemies to be at peace with them. Last week we talked about wise ways to deal with wickedness and wise ways to deal with our enemies. And we learned last week we are not to rejoice when our enemies stumble. We're not to laugh when our enemies fail. Because God wants for them the same thing He wants for us. He wants them to come to Him. He wants them to find repentance and change. And He doesn't want us to mess it up by stepping in and taking joy when they fall. But Jesus took it even a step further. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 28. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. I got to tell you, I don't think there's a more challenging piece of scripture in all the Bible. That's big stuff. And it's hard. But you know what? When we do that, we're pleasing God. And when we do that, even our enemies will be at peace with us. It's hard to keep hating somebody that's nice to you, right? You ever try to do that? It's hard to want to smack somebody that you sit down and have a prayer with. Even our enemies will be at peace with us. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'll confess this to you this morning. When somebody has made me mad or wronged me or wronged somebody I love, I can sit in my house and I can rehearse quite the speech I'm going to give to that person. Y'all ever do that? You think, man, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that. That will really get them, right? That's going to cut them to the heart. And I got to be honest with you, I can be pretty eloquent when I come up with that speech. But then you step back and you take a deep breath. And in those times I realized those words that I thought were so eloquent were actually just pathetic and empty. They don't reflect the love of the God I serve. They don't reflect words that would come from a person that wants to please God. And they certainly aren't going to be helpful for the person who's going to hear them. God tells us in those times, pray to me. Let me direct your steps. Let me provide you with the words to say. Let me deal with this. You can have freedom because of that. And after we blow off some steam, we realize that we have to let God take the lead. Wisdom says, not my will, God, but your will be done. We need to relax in those moments and let God lead. But what if you've tried to follow God's steps? What if you've tried to use His word to help you find your way, but you've gotten off course? Can God change your direction? You better believe He can. There are so many promises in Scripture that tell us God can do that. So many practical examples from Scripture where God has changed people's lives, and so many practical examples that we can think of in people we know and even in our own lives of how God has changed a person's direction. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. You guys know who wrote those words? A guy named John Newton. John Newton had been a slave trader. And for years before he wrote that song, John Newton was a bad guy. He was mean. He hurt people. He had all kinds of plans and an agenda, and he did whatever he had to do to meet his plans. And he hurt people, And he destroyed lives. And his plans definitely did not include God. But one day, John Newton learned that all his life had been meaningless. The things he was doing were senseless. He sensed that his life was very empty. And in that moment, someone taught him about Jesus. He became a preacher. He wrote hymns that include Amazing Grace. He became an opponent of the slave trade. The course of his life was changed. And that's what he's writing about. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, but your life feels empty, your life feels a lack of direction or a lack of purpose, ask yourself, have I been trying life my way or God's way? I don't mean to make this sound condemning, because I tell you, preachers, elders, Sunday school teachers, we all get sidetracked and we start living life according to our own agendas at times. You know, even people who've been Christians for decades forget the word sometimes in Proverbs 16:3 that says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. The danger for us as Christians is that we tend to put God up on a shelf and we don't give much thought to what He wants when it comes time to making decisions in our lives or helping other people make decisions in their lives. We're quick to run to the guidance counselor or to people that we think are wise or maybe people in our field of study or wherever we are in life for the wisdom. And many times we leave God on that shelf. But He says, I want you to come to me. I want you to pray to me. And I want you to listen. Let me use my wisdom to direct your steps. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you're dissatisfied with your life, do some soul searching and ask, am I living my life God's way or am I trying to do it on my own? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, it sounds harsh, but your life is empty. Your life has no purpose beyond the here and now. But we have the answer. And that answer is Jesus. Jesus tells us, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible tells us we quit being lost when we accept Jesus on His terms. There's a story about a couple that were traveling on the back roads in rural Ireland. Let me say that word. The countryside of Ireland. And they were driving around, it was beautiful scenery, and they were having a great time, but they realized they were lost. This was before GPS, this was before cell phones. So they became a little worried because they'd lost their way, and they were out in the country, and so they came up on this hill, and they saw a farmer leading his cow beside the road. And they rolled the window down, and the wife says, excuse me, sir, could you direct us to Mohill? We're lost. The farmer got a smile on his face, and he said, you're not lost at all, you see, because you found me, and I know the way. When you find Jesus, you're not lost at all. Because Jesus, in finding Him, we find the way. Jesus Himself tells us He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. If you're here this morning and you've never been baptized into Jesus for the remission of your sins, we would love to help you with that this morning. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian but you've lost your way and you want the prayers of the church for any reason at all, we're here for you. We want to help you with that. Let God direct your path. Let Him give you His wisdom to find your way in this life, but also in the life to come. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we want you to come now as we stand and sing.